but Joe.
You're listening to The Horn, the head-on radio network.
This is the Quality News Network. Reuters reports U.S. and Iraqi forces staged a dawn attack in downtown Baghdad in what is being called the heaviest fighting since the security crackdown was unleashed in February. One U.S. Apache helicopter was hit by small arms fire but was able to return to the green zone without crashing. 6 people were killed and 21 wounded. Northeast of Baghdad, a female suicide bomber blew herself up at a police recruitment center today. At least 19 people were killed, 33 wounded. A taxi parked next to Baghdad's university exploded this morning, killing 6 and wounding 11. In other sectarian violence, a Katyusha rocket slammed into a school's basketball court in eastern Baghdad today. A 6-year-old boy was killed, 15 other children and 2 teachers were wounded. Also in Iraq, 4 more U.S. troops were killed yesterday. A Marine died in the Anbar province. 3 American soldiers were killed in Baghdad by a roadside bomb. Another soldier was wounded. The Pentagon has announced it may extend the tours of duty for up to 15,000 U.S. troops in Iraq. In addition, nearly 13,000 National Guard troops are receiving official notice to prepare for Iraqi redeployment by the end of the year. Australia has agreed to redeploy its Special Forces commandos in Afghanistan. Australia's Prime Minister says sending 300 troops back to the country is aimed at stepping up the fight against the Taliban. The U.S. says $25 million in frozen North Korean funds are scheduled to be released today from a Macau bank. Pyongyang has refused to resume nuclear weaponry talks until the country receives the money. Envoys from the UN's nuclear watchdog agency arrived in Iran today to inspect the country's nuclear facilities. The visit follows Tehran's announcement yesterday it had begun industrial-scale nuclear fuel production. In a landmark case, a Serb court has sentenced 4 Serb paramilitaries for their role in the Srebrenica massacre in Bosnia in 1995. It was the first trial in Serbia to address the Muslim bloodbath in which more than 8,000 people were killed. Former First Lady Betty Ford has been released from a Southern California hospital in which she underwent an unspecified surgery last week. She is 89. You're listening to the Quality News Network, Science and Business next.
Huell Hauser talks to customers of First National, South Valley, and San Benito Banks, local members of the network of preferred community banks.
We're here to talk with people about their business banking.
What are you looking for in your business bank?
Somebody that can offer me services such as car loans, equipment loans, leases, a line of credit.
And do you think because they're local, they understand your needs better than a bigger bank would?
Yes, I think they're really aware of the community and are here to help the small business people.
So it's a local bank with big bank services?
Absolutely. They're here on a regular basis to make sure if there's any other services they can provide, they're here to talk about it.
Now, it's a community bank, but it's part of a network of banks.
We searched out a bank that would have the flexibility and the understanding of our needs and a willingness to spend the time doing that.
Above and Beyond Banking from the network of preferred community banks. Available locally at First National Bank of Central California, South Valley National Bank, and San Benito Bank.
Researchers say suicide rates are highest among states in which guns are readily available. In the 15 states with the highest percentage of gun ownership, suicide rates double. 5% of suicide attempts involve firearms. Suicide attempts involving firearms are successful 90% of the time. German scientists say their research has determined a cup of cocoa is better at lowering blood pressure than a cup of green or black tea. Patients who consumed cocoa regularly for 2 weeks experienced the same drop in blood pressure as patients who took blood pressure lowering medicine. Agricultural experts are determining how many fruit crops were destroyed when a cold snap hit the southeast last weekend. Georgian officials say they're considering requesting federal aid. Fast food chains McDonald's, Pizza Hut, and KFC will permit their employees to unionize if they work in their Chinese outlets. The U.S. companies came under fire last month when a newspaper investigation accused them of paying workers far less than the $1 an hour Chinese minimum wage. California State Lands Commission has rejected a proposal from Australia's Billiton Company to erect a liquefied natural gas terminal off the Southern California coast. Light sweet crude is trading at $61.42. On Wall Street at this hour, Dow Jones is up 3 points, NASDAQ up 2, the S&P 500 is flat. You can find more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Annabelle Lund.
This is a top to, you know, what we use on stage, but it's very, very special because if you can see,
yeah,
the numbers all go to 11. Look, right across the board, 11,
oh,
11,
and most
11,
of the amps go up to 10.
Exactly.
Does that mean it's louder? Is it any louder?
Well, it's one louder, isn't it? It's not 10. You see, most blokes are going to be playing at 10. You're on 10 here, all the way up, all the way up,
yeah,
all the way up. You're on 10 on your guitar. Where can you go from there? Where?
I don't know.
Nowhere, exactly. What we do is if we need that extra push over the cliff, you know what we do?
Put it up to 11.
11, exactly. One louder.
Why don't you just make 10 louder and make 10 be the top number and make that a little louder?
These go to 11.
Welcome to Conversation Radio's Lean, Mean, and Green Show. It's Foxed Up with John Fox, where we turn Conversation Radio into Conservation Radio. Foxed Up is brought to you by B1 Louder Productions of Sydney, Australia, and the Mid-Atlantic Regional Council of Carpenters. They're building the American dream every day. B1 Louder by ringing 877-443-2366. That's 877, the numeral 4, head on. And now, your host, the ranting, head-banging hippie, John Fox!
All right, everybody, welcome aboard Foxed Up for a good Friday. And, well, isn't every Friday good? Doesn't that just bring on the weekend? Welcome aboard, folks. Here it's the Head On Radio Network coming to you live from Sydney, Australia. And it's been a good week. It's been so good this week. And we've got heaps to do today, and we have a special track of the day today because it comes from our good friend Mr. Billy Shears over at shearsmusic.livejournal.com. And I love when he sends me stuff. It's really cool. And there's Billy in the States, and then there's my mate Scott, who's Mr. B1 Louder himself over here in Sydney. And, God, I'd love to just get, you know, I'd love to get the two of them together in the same room just once, you know. I hear we're getting a little bit of funky connection stuff going on, but we'll see if we can get it cleared up. I'll close a few tabs here. You know what? I bet you, and I know what it is. I have Sydney Morning Herald tabs open. And they always tend, it's one of those, it's really funny, my new laptop came loaded with McAfee, which I've never had before, and their little site advisor thing actually comes up with a yellow minor warning thing on the Sydney Morning Herald site saying that you couldn't possibly get spam email from them, I always find that they have so much active content on the thing that reloads all the time that sometimes it can bugger up my connection. Hopefully that will have cleared it up. I've gotten rid of those tabs. But I found something today at groovygreen.com that in the southern U.S. is showing shades of Australia at the moment. And folks, get on your leaders to not be, you know... slow. They're calling that for a mega drought being predicted in the southern U.S. And I'll tell you, we've been dealing with this stuff here for, you know, 5 or 6 years now. And the difference between the U.S. and Australia is that the U.S. has much larger water stores than Australia does. So we're seeing the problems, you know, a little bit sooner. But MSNBC has an article out here from Groovy Green, sounding an alarm on the southern United States fresh water situation. Not only is the wage gap between rich and poor workers reaching pre-depression levels, we're also threatened by a dust bowl similar to the same period of time. Now, if you follow the link off of Groovy Green, there are some frightening pictures from the AP at MSNBC, and they show a bleached bathtub ring, the result of a 6-year drought that has dramatically dropped the level of the reservoir, shows red Navajo sandstone formations near Last Chance Bay at Lake Powell near Page, Arizona. And, I mean, this is just, like, huge. I mean, I have no idea how tall these watermarks are, but you can see the fact that there's been absolutely no significant rain refilling these reservoirs. And the article says here, changing climate will mean increasing drought in the American Southwest. Water already is in tight supply, according to a new study. The bottom line message for the average person is also for the states and federal government that they'd better start planning for a Southwest region in which the water resource is increasingly stretched. Researchers studied 19 computer models of the climate using data dating back to 1860 and projecting into the future to the year 2100. The same models were used in preparing the reports on the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change. The consensus of the models was that the climate in the southwestern United States and parts of northern Mexico began a transition to drier conditions late in the 20th century and is continuing the trend in this century. As climate change alters the movement of storms and moisture in the atmosphere, the models show the drying trend continuing all the way to 2100 for more than 90 years. If these models are correct, the levels aridity of the recent multi-year drought or the Dust Bowl and the 1950s droughts will, within the coming years to decades, become the new climatology of the American Southwest. And all I can tell you right now is I'm living in a place that decided to infight between the states over how to control the water supply, because everybody said, no, we got to have it, and it's this person's fault, and it's that person's fault, and the state said it was the federal government's fault, and the federal government said it was the state's fault, blah, 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 and going back and forth, and the farmers out here are dying. So please get on to your local leaders. You know, and to start with things like, you know, demanding, you know, water efficient appliances, rebates for changing your washing machine, any of these things. And this is the exact reason why Gail and I went and bought our hand crank, uses no power and only 6 liters of water per wash, camping water washing machine. And this is how we do our laundry. And we must save probably, just kind of off the top of my head, over 1,000 liters of water a month that we don't take out of the system. Okay? And also this whole idea of, you know, I'm sorry, the lush green lawn, the American lawn, is dead. You know, we got to stop all this nonsense. And from what it looks like here, the southern U.S. is headed straight for the same head-on collision as Australia has run straight into. And, I mean, it's bad here. Now, we've had a little bit of rain here and there this year, But I'm telling you, it would take 6 months of consistent heavy rain. I'm talking 6 months nonstop to break the current drought. Okay? We have water catchment areas that are down to less than 20% in some places. So, you know, just, you know, I can't say it strong enough. You know, just really, without water, you got nothing. You know, you can live a week without food, but you can't live 2 days without water. It's that simple. So we're going to take our first break, and we're going to come back and go straight to the phones, I believe, because we got one of our news ninjas hanging on the line. So just hang right there, Susan. We'll be right back, and stick around because you're listening to Foxed Up here on the Head On Radio Network, and we'll be right back after this.
The United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competency and training. UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business anytime and every time. It's their job to provide manpower. They build partnerships based on respect and trust. They provide skilled, responsible millwrights and carpenters to meet the challenge of any project because they believe and what they're doing and are so very committed to getting each and every job done right. They include a clause in your contract that eliminates work slowdown and jurisdictional disputes because they believe that, as professionals, they can discuss and solve any problem while keeping your project on target on time. We'd like to take this opportunity to thank the men and women of the United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights for building the American dream and saving the American dream. Thank you.
There's one place on the web you can go that's so topical, you can apply it liberally. WD40.com. WDYAD40.com. Claude, Wally, and Goofy are there. They're working hard every day to give you updates in news, politics, and a great sense of humor. So stop on by and see the boys at WD40.com, a place where you can raise your voice and be heard. WD40.com. Your one-stop shop for all things progressive.
As I understand the conflict right now between the president's bill and the one supported by the Democrats, John McCain and Lindsey Graham, is that John McCain and Lindsey Graham and the Democrats say that the bill, the standards we use, should be the standards that are the same as the treaty we signed, the Geneva Convention signed after World War II that every civilized nation follows. And the president is saying, that restricts me too much. That's too humane. I want to be able to do other things. I won't say what they are, but sources tell us that things like waterboarding, you know, drowning people, putting them in 50-degree weather. And the question, I think, is should we hold the United States to the same standards that England holds itself to, that Canada holds itself to, that other civilized nations hold themselves to?
Get the view from inside the Beltway with Mark Levine on the Radio Inside Scoop right here, 2 to 3 p.m. weekdays on the Head On Radio Network.
Dad, let's sing that bedtime song.
Rock-a-bye baby by Newton's treetop. His first law of motion, make sure you won't stop. The same rules of physics apply to a ball, while gravity is a force that makes things fall.
By the sixth grade, many girls lose interest in math and science, but it's never too early to set your daughter's future in motion. For some simple ideas, go to girlsgotech.org.
A public service announcement brought to you by Girl Scouts of USA and Ad Council.
Oh,
All right, everybody, welcome back to Foxed Up here on the Head On Radio Network for a good Friday as we go into the holiday weekend. And if you celebrate, I hope you have a nice weekend. And we're going to go straight to the phones because our news ninja, Susan, also known as Trouble because she can be a load of it when she wants to be, is on the line. How you doing, Susan? Welcome to the program.
Yawn. Okay.
Sorry. Was that too much of an intro?
No, I'm calling about what you said about the drought.
Right.
I live three blocks from the Columbia River, so this is something, this is a subject near and dear to my heart. Other states from the Southwest, California, Nevada, you know, it's not just California, although California has been notable for doing it, but it's not just California, it's other states as well. They have already tried several times to go after water out of the Columbia River.
Right.
You know, the state government up here, and not just Oregon's, but Washington's, Idaho's, they're all saying over our dead body.
Oh, so in other words, they basically want to utilize your water supply to help deal with their problems.
So now they're coming, they're looking north, and they're seeing this great big hairy old Columbia River, and they think, oh, good.
Well, they've got some really crazy ideas here with the Murray-Darling Basin. They've been talking about setting up a huge water pipeline to move the extra water that's in northern Queensland down to New South Wales and Victoria. And it's just like, what are you people, insane?
Yeah, you know, putting it, well, for one thing, the whole concept of putting major cities like Las Vegas and Phoenix in the middle of a bloody desert in the first place is insane.
Yeah. I agree with you there. And especially, then, yeah, go ahead.
And then you see an overhead shot of these great big cities with these huge, beautifully green manicured golf courses with their sprinklers going crazy and their outdoor fountains and their outdoor swimming pools every block. And I'm going, yeah, right. Tell me about the water you need, guys.
Yeah, I'm right with you, and I sent a link into the chat a couple of days ago, and I think it wasn't during my program. And there's a San Francisco initiative of grow veggies, not lawns, or something like that, where in San Francisco they're putting in a huge push for people to get rid of their plush lawns and grow produce.
Yeah.
Which is kind of like a double winner as far as that's concerned. Because lawns are a waste of time. You know, the only reason that I've got one in my yard is because it happens to be here. But I don't water it. One, it's illegal. But what's really funny is because of all the water that we save and collect through the way that we do our laundry, my backyard is rocking.
I don't water my lawn. The watering my lawn gets drops out of the sky. I don't do anything. Come summer, it burns.
Right.
Look at it, guys. It turns nice. It turns a really nice shade of brown, and that's fine by me. I don't really give a rip. I don't.
Well, I mean, it's really. I find that whole concept of the great Aussie or the great, you know, American lawn such a selfish concept. You know. I really do. I think it's incredibly self-serving and selfish. It's just, to me, it's disgusting. And, you know, and you have these people go, look at my yard. And I'm going, yeah, but, you know, the farmers out in the bush are screwed because of idiots like you.
Yeah.
You know, that's all I can think. But thanks for your comment, Susan. It looks like I've got another caller on the line, so I'm going to move on because I've got quite a few things to get through today. But you're very, very right. And send me some information on this stuff about California wanting to steal your water supply. I'd like to hear more about that because I didn't realize it was so bad there.
It's other states as well.
Hey, you know, it's one of those things, you know. Waterworld might have been a really terrible movie, but the concept wasn't very far off the mark.
Oh, yeah, I understand that. You have a nice evening, John.
All right. Thank you, Susan.
Bye-bye.
Have a great day. And on the B1 Louder lines, we have the Steadymon. Welcome aboard, Steady. You're still down in New Orleans. Is that right?
I'm now in New Orleans. I was in Pascagoula, and a good Friday foxed up morning to you, sir.
Well, thank you, thank you, thank you. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. I had an evening in one of the, I guess, hoods in New Orleans across on the east side of the Mississippi. I'm now out in front of the relief shelter for Common Ground where Veterans for Peace were housed a couple of times on their impeachment tour. And I got to tell you, as I drive through the lower Ninth Ward down here, looking at the houses that have the spray paint on them, 915, 914, when they went through, I remember clips from Mike Shiley's film when he came down Dark Water Rising and filmed this place with the animals that were still leashed up and, you know, kind of a really sad scene. It still looks heavily depressed, but I've seen a lot of people out in front of the houses, like I did in Moss Point, you know, with the vans out in front of there and 15 people are in one house gutting it and cleaning up and boarding things and nailing up wood. There's some structures down here that have been completely reframed. Many of the buildings are, oh, really hammered, but it's amazing how hammered the region got that the as old as the buildings are, many of them are still standing. Some of them are completely tilted, you know, like the whole cocked, just sitting sideways
right.
Somewhat. But I'm just down here trying to fill in some time over the weekend here, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday I go back to Pascagoula where I had got a job at the shipyard out there. I filled out a bunch of paperwork in a U.S. Justice Department after going through five or six hoops, and it looks like I might land a job should my background check and dual citizenship clear the security stuff that's required to actually get a job at Northrop Grumman.
Oh, really? Doing what?
I'm an electrician, so I'll be doing shipboard wiring.
Ooh, wow. Hey, man, I didn't know you were a dual citizen. Where's your other citizenship?
Switzerland.
Oh, that's an interesting combination. But you've been down there helping out people, and I mean, what's happened to New Orleans? When the limited amount of touring that I did when I was living in the States, because it was early in my career, I did get to go through New Orleans a couple of times, and I have to say it was my favorite city to go visit in all of the United States, the Acme Fish Market, various different places. But it breaks my heart to know that this place has just been decimated and nothing has happened. But you've been really part of people taking just their talents down there and trying to do something themselves to help people on a case-by-case basis. What have you been up to?
Well, on an individual basis, just a drop in the ocean by way of what's required down here amongst all the church groups and college kids that gave up their spring breaks to come down here. But I was personally going into the homes of the people affected by Katrina and doing assessments of damage and then ordering required material to bring them back so they can actually get back into their homes. That was for Operation TLC, and they're working out of the Pascagoula City Gym or Rec Center. And I have to say, it takes a lot of virtue from you that you're not prepared to give when you open up your heart in a genuine fashion and hear the stories, because they've got stories they want to tell. I was attacked by a dog. I shared that with Betsy and a few others in the midst of all this, and I just counted all joy on Good Friday, reflecting back. It's a labor of love, and the head-on radio network and everything that's going on through this netcast and accessibility for conversation radio has empowered me to do investigative reporting and be eyes and ears on the ground here in a region of our nation that has been completely neglected. We're still a single people. We're still have common interests that the welfare of our citizens as well as their posterity is the only moral basis for government itself. So I'm here just representing goodwill towards men, and it's Good Friday, and I'm just thrilled to call into the Head On Radio Network and talk with you this morning, John, from the Lower Ninth Ward, to you sitting in the land of Wanda, the land down under.
Yeah, man. You know, it's been a long time since you and I have spoken, because it hasn't been since, you know, the old show with Bruce on the weekends. You know, we used to speak on a fairly regular basis, and I just, you know, I'm so glad that there are people like you leading by example, and I know you don't want to be like put up on any kind of a pedestal, and that's not what I'm trying to do, but you're such a great example of what needs to happen to get things right. You know, and I just feel so bad for this area that has so much history, so much music. I mean, just personally, the music that comes from there, you know, it's just been absolutely heartbreaking. And I'm just really thankful that there are people like you that will give up their time and their energy and your emotional well-being, I think, in some instances, because you have to go down and expose yourself to the pain that people are going through. And I just from me, and I know from all those people, you know, thank you for doing this.
I appreciate that, John. Two points to just kind of segue through your comments regarding the music here. The International Airport in New Orleans is the Louis Armstrong Airport, and it was cool just to be looking at the map and see that. And as far as giving of myself, I think there are many people who would love to do what I'm doing, but they, in a way, just cannot leave their bills and their responsibilities to their families and their regions. And simply with all the economic pressures coming in and hard around them, it's impossible for them to do so. I thank you for the shout out in regards to what I'm doing. It's going to take a lot more than one guy, and even all the relief agencies and efforts of people that I've come, there's no end in sight regarding the work that needs to be done. I think nationalism still beats strong in the human breast, and if I can light some fires out here by doing just what I'm doing, others may follow. And thanks for the call, and Veterans for Peace, who gave me the lead on this, and Common Ground for providing the shelter this weekend.
Right on, man. Right on. Thank you so much. I got to get to a break, man. It's been so good to talk to you, and be safe in your travels, and hopefully we'll speak to you once you get back home.
Thanks a lot, John. Bye, everybody.
All right, man. Take care. And that was our really, really good friend and just a superb person, Mr. Stettler. He just rocks. We're going a little late into the break here, folks. We're going to break, and we're going to come back and do a couple things and do today's track of the day sent to us from Mr. Billy Shears. And with that, we're just going to go to the break. We'll be right back.
Girls on the avenue, they're trying to get you in. Strolling by with a rosebud smile. They're all dressed up to kill.
The United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights meet your most complex needs by providing productivity, competitiveness, reliability, accuracy, safety, leadership, and professionalism. Millwrights from the United Brotherhood of Carpenters are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competence and training. The UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business, anytime and every time. The Head On Radio Network is proud to be sponsored by these wonderful men and women who are building the American dream every day. Thank you from the Head On Radio Network.
Harry Potter has given us all a unique glimpse at education the way it ought to be. Never once do Harry and his Hogwarts friends talk about skipping class, ducking tough instructors, waiving requirements, or shirking responsibilities. That perspective, be practical, get it the easiest, fastest, cheapest way you can, is what J.K. Rowling terms the Muggle approach to education. We're Concord University, and do we have a deal for you? At Concord, education's different than anywhere else around. There's a reason that Concord students get the best jobs, are sought out by the best medical, graduate, and law schools in the land. It's no wonder that Concord has been cited by U.S. News & World Report and by the Wall Street Journal. Where do I sign up? at Southern West Virginia's version of Track 9 and 3 Quarters. All you have to do is believe, and believe in yourself. Concord University, an education you can put to work. 1-888-384-5249.
Howdy, this is Baxter Black, and if you're like me, you're concerned that the environment we enjoy today may not be around for our children and grandchildren. All the new technology in the world can't create more sky over our heads or new oceans. The Earth's natural resources, fresh water, land, and even the air we breathe are limited. Voluntary family planning improves the health of women and their children. It also helps slow population growth, which is good for our planet. So help ensure that people everywhere have access to the information and services they need to plan their families and help build a healthy future for us all. Population Action International is working to promote voluntary family planning around the world. Visit us at www.populationaction.org. That's populationaction.org.
I love that track. That's some just real Australian rock and roll. Go Angry Anderson. All right. Our news ninja Gene just sent me something all going on my water tirade here. Soy and the Amazon. It says here, it is said that if the Amazon shrinks much more, its ability to water itself from its own cycles of evaporation and precipitation will begin a spiraling cycle of drying, a tipping point that will be nigh impossible to return from. One of the greatest threats is the increasing demand for meat. Soy is exported to Europe and elsewhere for livestock feed. If the beans were consumed in their direct form, they would feed many more people. It's a ridiculous conversion ratio. 1 pound of meat from 7 pounds of soy. That is costing us what is one of the last significant stands of forest and regions of biodiversity on the planet. It's got to stop. And this is at Celsius, CELSIAS.com on their blog. And there's a bit of video there, which I will check out after the show. Thank you for that, Gene. Very, very cool. And not that the story's not that what's happening is cool, but thank you for throwing that because it's well right on topic. And, you know, this is also very true. You know, not to go on any kind of a vegetarian stint because, I mean, I'm not one. I did live a vegetarian lifestyle for about 5 years. You know, we talk about how we can cut down on our carbon footprint and all that kind of thing. And what we eat and where it comes from is a huge factor. And it's one of the simplest ways that we can make a real difference in our daily lives is, you know, getting stuff as locally as possible and, you know, cutting back on your beef intake. That's a huge one. That's a huge one, and it's kind of, you don't realize how important that is. So thanks for that, Gene. You just never fail to come up with the goods. Now, this is a really cool thing. Via our friends at Tree Hugger, and I'm feeling very slack that I didn't know this because this is from an Australian firm. Have you heard of a sun cube? Well, neither had I. Well, this is a really cool, you know, solar technology is fixing to boom. And this is an interesting little device. It is a freestanding solar power generation system. Looks like it's about a meter and a half by a meter and a half. And it can itself create 600 kilowatts of power annually by itself at the cost of about $1,000. Now, they're not exporting any of them from Australia as of yet. However, if you know someone who's interested in investing in something like this, as in maybe a manufacturing plant or whatnot, SunCube Manufacturing is offering licenses. Manufacturing licenses. So you can go to, and it's from a company called Green and Gold Energy and they're at greenandgoldenergy.com.au, all spelled out. And it's a very, very cool-looking kind of thing. They come with conversions back to the grid systems already built in. So this technology continues to move forward. They've got photos and videos at the website. It's groovy, groovy, groovy stuff. And we need more of this. We need much, 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 much more of this. So with that, I'm going to go to our track of the day. And our track of the day comes from Mr. Billy Shears. And this is actually from his post last night, his Thursday night special. And it's titled Sir George Martin Taking the Fifth. And I'm not going to really read the post because I think you should go to shearsmusic.livejournal.com. and read the post, but he talks about the genius of George Martin and the Beatles a bit, and that it was George Martin's maturity that helped really bring out the best in that band for being such young guys. And talking about just the genius of their harmonies, and where he says taking the fifth, it's about using the musical interval of the perfect fifth in harmony, which kind of pre-Beatles was considered breaking the rules a bit. Using parallel fifths was considered breaking the rules. You weren't supposed to use parallel fifths. Don't ask me why, but some jackass who thought he knew what he was doing, or, you know, they set up one of those rule of thumb, never use parallel fourths or fifths. Now, the reason why you don't use parallel fourths is because it's really hard to do and make it sound musical. Parallel fifths has become a mainstay now because of what the Beatles did. And the track of the day is an interesting remix of the Beatles track Because. And this, I believe, comes off of the album that George Martin did a couple of years ago where he remixed some of the Beatles stuff. And I don't know if it was the older one or the one that just went out, or the one that just came out last year that he did with his son. But this is where they've stripped out all of the accompaniment. All of the instruments are gone, and they just leave the bare vocal. So you can hear just how really genius and beautiful the Beatles' harmony work was. And then they mix just some atmospheric and natural sounds within. And it's just really, really, really cool. So without further ado, Agnes, Because, from the Beatles, roll it.
It makes me cry. Because the sky is blue.
There's one place on the web you can go that's so topical, you can apply it liberally. WD40.com. WDYAD40.com. Quad Wally and Doofy are there. They're working hard every day to give you updates in news, politics, and a great sense of humor. Just stop on by and see the boys at WD40.com, a place where you can raise your voice and be heard. WD40.com. Your one-stop shop for all things progressive. What's a conversation like on Head On with Bob Kincaid? This is what it's like.
Let's talk to our good friend Phil down in Daytona Beach, Florida. Hey, Phil, welcome to the program. Good to hear from you.
Thanks, Bob. Good to hear you, too. I want to remind people that the military take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. And when people say they're fighting for our freedom by defending the Constitution, which defines our freedoms and supposedly is there to protect them, that's what it really means. Not doing whatever this outrageous civilian leadership dictates that it does.
Head On with Bob Kincaid. Conversation at its finest. Weeknights, Monday through Friday, 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Only at Head On Radio Network and chat at headonradionetwork.com.
The difference between what I do on my show and what all the right-wing types do on their shows is very simple. I'm not going to lie to you. That doesn't mean you're going to agree with me about everything or that you're going to like hearing everything I have to say, but I will guarantee you that when I say something on my show, I say it because I mean it and I believe it, and I'm not just saying it to get you riled up and to boost my ratings. No potty mouth, no trash talking, no BS, just the straight truth as I see it, because the lies may sound good for a while, but the truth is there forever. It's not always pleasant, it's not always nice. Sometimes it's hard to see through all the crap, but it's there. And that's what you're going to get from me, and that's why you should listen to my show. The Cup of Joe Radio Show, Mondays and Fridays from noon to 2 Eastern Standard Time on the Head On Radio Network.
Polar bears live in the Arctic, on the ice.
But the ice is melting because of global warming.
Some polar bears have to swim so far they drown. Baby bears have died.
When I'm old, when I'm 45, all the bears could be gone.
Grown-ups should do something.
If you're a grown-up, go to polarbearsos.org now. You can make sure polar bears are protected under the Endangered Species Act.
Please help them.
Welcome back, everybody. Oh, that is such a great audio slave track. Light it up. That's just an awesome track. That's just one of those things to just have in that playlist when you're going out for a protest, I reckon. It's just, it's awesome. Anyway, folks, there was a PSA just before we came back that is just so apropos to this next story. Arctic sea ice is shrinking in downward spiral. Are we hearing this term a lot when it comes to this stuff? It's, the downward spiral, things are spiraling, and it has to do with the fact that so much of the modeling that was done previously on the effects of climate change and global warming and all this kind of stuff, as it continues to worsen, it seems to be, speeding up. You know, there's an acceleration going on that's quite scary. And so from Common Dreams, or actually from The Independent via Common Dreams, is this. Winter sea ice in the Arctic has failed to reform fully for the third year in a row. Scientists said yesterday that the area of ocean covered by Arctic ice at the end of the winter months was lower only in March 2006. Researchers fear that the floating sea ice is now on a downward spiral of shrinkage that cannot recover fully even during winter because of warmer temperatures. Walt Meyer of the U.S. National Snow and Ice Data Center in Boulder, Colorado, which released the satellite data yesterday, said, we're seeing near record lows and higher than normal temperatures. We expected the downward trend to continue in future years. The maximum area of the northern hemisphere covered by sea ice in March 2007 was 5.7 million square miles compared to 5.6 million square miles recorded in March 2006. The long-term average for March sea ice, as determined by NASA measurements from 1979 to 2000, is 6.1 million square miles, according to the center. Sea ice in the Arctic oscillates naturally during the seasons, with the area of ocean covered by ice shrinking to its peak minimum extent during September and expanding to its annual maximum during March. Since 1979, when satellite measurements began, summer sea ice had declined significantly. In September 2005, it reached its all-time record low, with September 2006 the second lowest. Scientists fear that the winter failure of the ice to recover fully will mean that there is less ice to start with at the beginning of the summer melting period, leading to more rapid shrinkage with each subsequent year. This is bad news for polar bears, which rely on floating sea ice to hunt for seals. With little ice, polar bears have to swim further in open water, burning much-needed body fat in the process. One of the greatest concerns is that the melting sea ice will lead to greater areas of open, darker ocean being exposed to sunlight during the summer, instead of 90% of the heat of the sun being reflected by the cap by a cap of sea ice. The heat will be absorbed by the open water, which will exacerbate the trend towards regional warming. Lower winter recovery means that the ice is freezing up later in the fall and growing at slower pace in the winter, said a spokesman for the center. September usually marks the end of the summer melting season. Lower summer extent means that the ice is melting faster during the summer and leaving less ice to build on during the winter recovery. Now, this all makes a whole lot of sense. You know, I mean, it's common sense. You know, if there's less to start with, it's going to recover less, and then that's going to continue the trend. And again, it's this acceleration of the process. And, you know, this kind of thing continues, and that huge, huge, huge deep sea river flow that goes from Greenland down around the southern tip of Africa to Australia and back around again is going to continue to slow down. And at some point, we're going to hit a moment where, because, you know, it's cold at the top as it goes north. Or, sorry, it's warm at the top as it goes north. And then it gets cold when it gets up towards the northern cap, and it drops down and then flows back down south underwater. This affects salinity. This also affects, it's this system that keeps the UK from being locked in ice 12 months of the year. Okay? And this is where global warming can trigger another ice age. Okay? So this is one of those things that the deniers will play games about, you know, well, first they say it's warmer, then it's getting cooler. It's like, well, see, there's this thing, it's called a tipping point. And where we thought ice ages, you know, took, you know, decades to come on, we find out that it could actually kick in as little as 2 years once this massive flow of water, which is larger than all of the land-based rivers on the Earth put together, once that slows down to a point, it will stop. And that's it. That's it. It shuts down. Okay? And for those of us that are worried about, you know, being green being bad for business, how bad will it be for business if we go into an ice age? Sorry, you know, it's... and And Susan's mentioning in the chat room an Inconvenient Truth, which I just finally saw for the first time about a week ago because we went and bought it. And I have to start lending it out to people. Because I really do think there are two films out there that I think really should be shown in schools. One is An Inconvenient Truth, but first is Oil on Ice. I think Oil on Ice, you get to pull out the Al Gore thing, which I don't mind the Al Gore thing. I enjoyed that part, those parts of An Inconvenient Truth where you got to kind of see, you know, Al for who he is and get to see his passion for the cause and the subject matter. Because it's the only way we're going to move forward is, you know, I mean, the only way that anything major happens against, you know, common trends is for passionate people to get out there. And I, for one, think I am one of those, and this is exactly why, you know, I do this program, you know. Oil on Ice, it's I don't know if it's available online. You have to look around, and this all deals with the Arctic National Reserve, okay? And they get involved with the Inuit people both in Alaska and in Canada. They show how the oil industry that's up there now, how it has affected their hunting. You know, it's just. It's a phenomenal film. I actually would almost put it a step above An Inconvenient Truth, only because of the fact that it's not so much the high-tech thing, which Al's presentation is, and it's wonderful. I mean, and believe me, I'm not pulling anything away from Al Gore's work, because I think it's crucial. But Oil on Ice... is just it was aired here in Australia on Cutting Edge about a month maybe two ago, and I was just transfixed to the television for 45 minutes. It is just fantastic. I believe it was a PBS and BBC thing. Don't quote me on that, but I think it is. But I you might even be able to find it on Google Video, and I'll have a look after the show. And if I do find it online somewhere, I'll post it. In the show post for Monday, because it really is a seminal film when it comes to the environment. And like I said, you know, see if you can find it at the video store. You know, rent it. You know, if you can go out and find it, buy it on DVD, just like An Inconvenient Truth. Buy it and then start your own environmental video library and lend it out to people. Because this is how, you know, it's by education that will get people to, you know, do this stuff. So anyway, I think we need to wrap stuff up for today. And, you know, we got to do our credits and stuff. Sorry, I was just getting a little bit of a private message here in the chat room. Nothing dirty. it's a clean show. Anyway, folks. Thanks to Agnes Kincaid for producing brilliantly, as always, from the studios in wonderful West Virginia. Thanks to Ben Birch at the White Rose Society for the streaming and the archives. He's still got his fundraiser going. Go and make that thermometer go straight through the top and blow the top out of it, because you got to do the right thing, because he does, and he doesn't send a bill. Thank you to Scott Berry at B1 Louder Productions. Thank you to the Carpenters for everything that they do. Our bloggers, news ninjas, our moderators, you all rock. Peter Gobbold of Gobbold Computers, you rock. We love you. And as we say here on Foxed Up, be good, be green. We'll see you on Monday.
An admiration of 100 strangers than it is to accept the love and loyalty of those closest to me. And I would tell you that sometimes I prefer to look at myself through someone else's eyes. Eyes that aren't clouded with the tears of knowing what an asshole I can be, as yours are. If ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, I might be able to listen in silence to your concerns. rather than hearing everything as an accusation or an indictment against me. And I would tell you that sometimes I use sex to avoid communication. It's the best escape when we're down on our luck. But I can express more emotions than laughter, anger, and let's... If ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, if ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, if ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, if ever I would stop thinking about music and politics.
You're listening to The Horn, the head-on radio network. You're listening to the Venture 3 Radio Network.
Gonzalez in trouble as tide turns against Team Texas. Panel OK subpoenas an attorney probe. For wary conservatives, all eyes on Bush. Deal reached on UN sanctions versus Iran. President rejects healthcare proposal. Giuliani will miss firefighters' event. Giuliani law firm lobbies in Texas for Chavez-controlled Citgo. The new Dean political plan. Gingrich says it's too early to campaign for 2008. Web censorship spreading globally. Chertoff warns of web of terrorism. McCain draws heat from Vet Group and Club for Growth. World may get greener, then wilt, due to warming. Israel not enthusiastic about strike on Iran, says Olmert. And Al-Qaeda number 3 says he's planned 9/11 and a hell of a lot of other things. Oh, we're going to rip into this one, folks. These are the issues ahead on the Jeff Allen Wolf Show, starting now.